Please remain standing for the reading of our sermon text from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 through 22. Hebrews 10, starting at 16. Hear God's inspired and inerrant word. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. You may be seated. Please pray with me. Thank you, our Father. Thank you, our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for this word that you have given in this time to hear the preaching of the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us grace, Lord, to lift him up. We pray that you would draw men, women, and children to yourself, and that we would be encouraged to draw near to you with covenantal boldness, even as you encourage us through this word. We thank you and we praise you, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you want to be known for? When people are laid to rest in the body, men write an epitaph, which literally means over a tomb, an inscription that is given as a memorial of the one who has passed away. What would be the appropriate inscription on a stone that will mark your remains? We all will die, and unless the Lord returns first, and so it's something to consider. Some examples: Martin Luther King Jr., on his stone it says, free at last, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Very appropriate. His wife, Coretta Scott King, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Some epitaphs are humorous. For example, Mel Blanc, that's all, folks. Man of 1,000 voices, beloved husband and father. Or Merv Griffin, I will not be right back after this message. Or Rodney Dangerfield, there goes the neighborhood. Or Johnny Cash, Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So what would be inscribed on your headstone or on mine if it is true to your life? Well, let me make a suggestion. How about, this one drew near to God? Draw near to God is a recurring theme of the Bible, and especially the book of Hebrews. And that's the main point of our message today. Let us draw near to God with covenantal boldness. But to do that, first, we need to consider how we're not to draw near. Don't draw near flippantly or lightly, as if God is not holy and doesn't care how we approach him. He is holy, and he does care. And don't draw near presumptuously. What do I mean by presumptuously? Well, to be presumptuous means to fail to observe the limits of what is permitted or appropriate. Kind of speaking about our culture in some ways. In other words, we think we can call the shots, as it were, not bearing in mind what is scripturally permitted or appropriate. And this is what the whole Old Testament is especially about. The whole Old Testament relentlessly teaches regarding the sinfulness of man and how to properly draw near to a holy, holy, holy God, but only through a mediator. And so we need to beware of the sin of presumption. Presumptuous sin is very severely punished in the Bible. Pastor, can you give me some examples? Glad you asked. Yes. For example, King Saul in 1 Samuel 13, where some of you remember the story, he waited 7 days for the time that Samuel said he was going to come, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And the people of his army were scattering from him. So Saul said, "Bring the burnt offering here to me and the peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and greet him. Samuel said to Saul, "What have you done?" Saul said, "When I saw the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, I said, 'Now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord.' So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." What did the Lord command Saul? Well, Saul was a king, and he was not a priest. And so he presumptuously made a sacrifice which God commanded only the sons of Aaron, the priests, to do. That was Saul. Another example is Uzzah, the priest Uzzah in 2 Samuel 6:3. I don't know if you remember the story when they were about to move the ark from where it was, to the tent that David had set up for it in Jerusalem. And they loaded the ark up onto a cart, which was contrary to what the law says. The ark was supposed to be carried on poles and not to be put on a cart. But they put it on a cart, I think, because the Philistines had moved it that way. So they set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out to the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the Ark. Ahio went before the Ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps, stringed instruments, tambourines, sistrums, cymbals. And they came to Nacon's threshing floor. Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it. for the oxen had stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. Again, it was not to be touched. It was supposed to be carried on poles. And then King Uzziah, 2 Chronicles 26:16. Excuse me. King Uzziah generally was a good king, but he became strong and his heart was lifted up to his destruction, it says in 2 Chronicles 26:16. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the son of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. So Uzziah acted presumptuously and did what the kings were not supposed to do, and usurping the place of the priest. It was the priest who was supposed to offer incense. So don't draw near presumptuously. We also cannot draw near to the Lord independently, that is, on our own or trusting in ourselves. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, "Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God." Amen. But how do we draw near to God with covenantal boldness? Our passage says, having boldness to enter the holiest places, in verse 19. By boldness, this means the ability to speak freely and confidently. We have three really good examples of boldness, spirit-filled boldness, in Acts chapter 4. Acts 4:13, "Now when they," the Sanhedrin, "saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus." Another example, Acts 4:29, when the disciples prayed after the Sanhedrin had threatened them, they prayed, "Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Let us speak freely and confidently about Jesus." Amen. And then Acts 4:31, "And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." Apart from Christ, we dare not approach the thrice holy God. But because we come through Christ, the great high priest, we can come boldly. Notice He is the great high priest in verse 21. It says high priest, but the word there translated high is better translated great, because it's the word mega, which means great. And I think it's important to say that because Jesus is something completely different from the Aaronic high priest. He is a great priest over the house of God. And so we are encouraged to draw near boldly through this great priest. And so Hebrews 4:16, some of you are familiar with that passage. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Can we come boldly? Yes, we can come boldly because of the new covenant in Christ. We may boldly enter the holiest place into the very presence of God by the blood of Jesus. And it's something that I think is amazing to think about. God wants us to come boldly into his presence. Amen? And so we're encouraged. Come boldly, draw near. What's so special about the new covenant? Well, over and over again in Hebrews, we find that the new covenant is better than the old. And finding fault with the old, the Lord brings the new into being. The new covenant is perfect, permanent. It's based on a once and forever, once and for all sacrifice. The new covenant is the substance rather than the shadow. It's not a foreshadowing of heavenly realities. It is the heavenly reality. And we see that the law was something that was external. And in the new covenant, the law is made internal rather than external. It's written on our hearts. Verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. So in a sense, each believer becomes the table of the law, the tablets of the law, those whom God writes on. He inscribes his law in our hearts and in our minds. And so in a sense, we become arcs of the covenant. We become together the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then the other thing that's so special about the new covenant is we have forgiveness rather than covering over. In the Old Testament, the sins were covered over. But in the New Testament, sins are forgiven. That is, they are remitted, they are pardoned, or we are released from them. And that's a huge thing. And that's far better in the new covenant than in the old. And then lastly, we have boldness to enter the holiest place by the blood of Jesus. Some of you may remember that the holiest place in the temple, only the priest could go once a year on the Day of Atonement and with blood for his own sins and the sins of God's people. Only once a year. But you remember that the tabernacle and the temple were made after the pattern that was shown Moses in heaven. And so They are to be after the pattern of the holiest place in heaven. And Christ entered that holiest place with his blood. And so he has gone in before us into the, not to the replica, but the real holiest of holies. And since he's there, we get to follow him there because we are in him. And so we have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We have boldness because we are invited there, as it says in our passage today. It says in verse 19, "Brethren, therefore, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Be fully assured that God wants us to come into the holiest place, not through the blood of animals, but through the precious blood of Jesus. All those animals that were slain, they pointed ahead to the sacrifice of Jesus that actually would take away our sins, would actually lift up and remove our sins from us. And so, let's draw near. Let's draw near with covenantal boldness. We're invited, and so we need to take our God up on his invitation. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have provided a sacrifice. And thank you, Lord, that you have written your law in our hearts and in our minds, and that you've given us forgiveness, and you have removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west, and our sins and lawless deeds you will remember no more. And we thank you that it's because of that precious blood of Jesus that we can go into your very presence. And you want us to come. You invite us to come. You encourage us to draw near through him. And so thank you, Lord, for this blessing. Thank you for this privilege. We pray, Lord, that we would draw near. As your word says, to pray without ceasing. And so thank you, our Father, that you have adopted us. Those who were far off, you have brought near through your Son. Thank you for these blessings. And we pray, Lord, that we would live up to the boldness that you have given us. We pray, Lord, that we would be able to speak freely and confidently before you, praising you, thanking you, confessing our sins, interceding, and then also that we'd be able to speak confidently of the good news of your Son, Jesus. Thank you that you give us boldness in your presence and boldness in the presence of people who need to hear about the way of salvation of Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray you bless this word to us, cause it to bear much fruit for your glory, for your honor, and your praise. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.